It's good to be here tonight. Thankful for everyone who has come to study just another portion of God's Word to be encouraged. And really, that's what I plan on doing tonight, just giving you a quick word of encouragement. And when we consider that word of encouragement, we know for a fact that God desires for us to encourage one another. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said something to his disciples that amazes me. He said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." As I was thinking about this and considering some other thoughts, this day has been a great day. Not necessarily because of the event we had after morning service, but something was said to me and to others that I believe is worthy, especially as an elder, to commend you on. I was told today that a lovely little congregation, it really made me feel welcome. People here made me feel welcome. And that made me think about some things. Because as the Apostle Paul often did, and we'll look at some passages here in a few minutes, he often exhorted the brethren. He encouraged them. Reminded of what Jude said, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Every now and then we need to just be encouraged that we're actually doing that which is right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when that was said, especially by a non-Christian, she wasn't a Christian. And he isn't faithful to Christ. But the congregation here made them feel very warm. Friends, that's a testament. That's something that we need to continue to do, is to encourage, is to build up. And the love that we demonstrate one toward another, and those who may not share in our religious beliefs, doesn't mean that we are going to mistreat them. I'm reminded of Jesus in Matthew 7, 28 and 29. They were astonished at his teachings because he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished. The things that was coming out of the Savior's mouth was just magnificent to them. It warmed their heart. It taught them. It encouraged them. It enhanced their knowledge. It pointed them toward God. I found that interesting, that the love that we demonstrate toward one another and the love that we demonstrate to those who are visiting with us ought to point people toward God. And friends, I can say this with a smile. What we're doing here does point people toward God. Amen? It really does. And that ought to put a smile to our face that we're actually doing that which is right, and people are seeing it, that we're really striving to do that which is right. In Mark 7, verse number 37, something was said about the Lord that's just powerful. He done all things well. Friends, it's well when those who on the outside can see the kingdom of God at work. Jesus did all things well. He had done all things well. I believe people can see what Ninth and Main is doing and say, you know what, they're doing things well. We know we're not perfect. We know we don't hit on all cylinders, if you will. But the things that we are doing, we ought to be able to say, you know, I'm trying to do my best. Remember what was said by the Son of Man in John 8, verse number 29? He said, always do those things that please him. That's our mentality. The exhortation that we ought to be receiving is that I'm trying to please the Lord to the best of my ability, and I'm around people that's trying to please the Lord. And that's what we're striving to do here. And so when at times maybe we're not pleasing the Lord, there's a brother or a sister that is encouraging me to please the Lord, even though I may not be.
And what that does, it encourages me to please the Lord even more so. Reminded of something, reminded of the compassion that Jesus had. Remember when Jesus was talking to that rich young ruler, the Bible says he looked at him and he loved him. Remember what was said about Jesus at the grave of Lazarus. Oh, look how he loved him. He was one of compassion, one of grace, one of mercy. I want to encourage us to continue to do that. For Jesus was one, according to Mark chapter 9, who saw that man's son who was cast into the fire and into the water. And the Bible says that he had compassion on him. The bowels within him was moved. And the reason why is because he saw a father that was hurting and his son being cast into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And Jesus was moved with compassion. Friends, let's be that type of person. We see people who are lost in sin. We don't turn our noses up. No, let's get our hands dirty and let's try to bring them out of the fire. Let's try to help them see Jesus for the pardoning of their sins. When we see our brethren growing, coming to worship services, helping out in events, we ought to say, you know what, we see growth. It's okay to see growth. And that's what we're here for, to encourage one another. One thing that I appreciate is when we see one another actually doing the will of God and we take some time to say, Nate, you're doing good. Bible does teach us to give honor to whom honor. And so as we're doing that, we want to strive to do that. You see a young lady or a young mother or a young wife, and they're really striving to be submissive. Hey, keep it up. Keep it up. I know it's hard. Young man who's trying to lead his family, hey, keep it up. Keep it up. If anybody ought to be encouraged, it ought to be us. We're on our way to heaven. We're striving to do that which is right. We want to be biblical. We want to be scriptural. Yet, we want to make sure that we're balanced. In Matthew 16, 18, and 19, we use this passage all the time because Jesus used it this way. He told Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Here's the point. Jesus built the church. He established a kingdom. Remember on one occasion in the book of Matthew chapter 3, and Jesus picks up the baton in Matthew chapter 4, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're in that kingdom. We're in that place where Jesus is the head and he's the king. He's ruling over his subjects. We're his subjects. And just as Jesus walked in the light, just as Jesus is that light, we follow him. Which means that we strive to be a people of mercy and compassion and truth. People of wisdom. Reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse number 19, that wisdom is justified over children. Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. And because he's the power and wisdom of God and wisdom justifier of the children, we're following Jesus. And because we're following Jesus, we're going to walk like him. We're going to talk like him. We're going to do the things that he says. I want to encourage us to continue to do that. Continue to build up one another, to trust one another, to provide for one another. That spiritual encouragement needed. Look at Acts 18. I love this passage, or passages rather. I believe that they serve a great deal of encouragement. Verse 9 through 11. We know that the Apostle Paul was at Corinth. He was working with the congregation there. It seems as if the Jews were giving him a problem, and now he's about to go to the Gentiles in verse number 6. And apparently, maybe there was some discouragement in his life, Brother Royce. It happens to all of us. Brother Randy, it happens. And we need someone that's going to encourage us. Maybe we ought to get our first bit of encouragement from the Lord and then from one another. Or maybe when we receive a word of encouragement from a brother or a sister in Christ, That ought to point us to the Lord. Here is a man of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, one born out of due season, if you will, striving to do the will of God, on his way to the Gentiles, going toward the Gentiles, preaching the word. And the Lord, friends, the Lord saw fit to encourage this man. We know the brethren would often encourage the Apostle Paul. But this is why we have to study the word of God for ourselves, because the Lord saw fit to encourage. Notice verse 9. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. Remember the exhortation that Jesus gave the disciples before he ascended back to the Father in Matthew chapter 28, and said, and lo, I'm with you always. But here we find that the Lord, and this is well after he appeared unto him, of course, but the Lord sees the work that the Apostle Paul is doing, and he says, don't be afraid. Keep speaking. Don't be silent. Why? For I am with you. Remember Romans 8, verse number 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4, verse 4. We need those words. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt. That's a lie. Words do hurt, but words do build up. They encourage. And so here Paul is being encouraged. And notice what? Notice the assurance that the Lord gives to the Apostle Paul. And he says, and no one will attack you to hurt you. Can you imagine preaching the word? Going to different people, preaching the word. Facing opposition, preaching the word. And having that in the back of your mind, Brother Royce, that no one's going to hurt me. That's encouragement. That's encouragement. And so the Lord says, no one will hurt you. No one will attack you. For I have many people in this city. Now, notice the fruit, if you will, of this encouragement. How long did the Apostle Paul remain there? He continued there a year and 6 months. 18 months teaching the word of God among them. Friends, I tell you, encouragement goes a long, long, long way. As your brother in Christ, y'all have encouraged me. Today I was encouraged. My family was encouraged. Just a very encouraging group of people. Our plea is that we remain that way. That we're looking out for one another. Look at Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we see something very powerful, the first couple of verses. Notice the encouragement here. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. Notice with what attitude? With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Notice this. Endeavoring, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's beautiful when we know that someone is endeavoring to be one with us. We often talk about, at least some of us, often talk about how late some of us stay after worship services, after Bible classes. We end at around 8:10, Brother Raphael, and sometimes the lights are not going off till 9. And sometimes you have to flick the lights off. Hey, y'all, we got to go. Because you have people endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Oh, we come together for Bible class to exhort one another in that specific time frame. Good. But some of the best teaching take place in some of these corners. As we're encouraging one another, talking over Scripture. Iron sharpeneth iron, Proverbs 27:17. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's exactly what we're doing. Let's keep that up. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 1 of thinking 5, we'll go to chapter 5 in a minute. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, remember I was talking about that exhortation, building up, encouragement, if you will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1, we take notice of this very thing. Paul is ending this letter, if you will, before he talks about this good day, awful day of the Lord. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, finally then, brethren, notice, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. We exhort you. We exhort you. Look at chapter 5, verse number 14. In chapter 5 and verse number 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. We exhort you. We ought to be exhorting one another that when a brother or sister is not faithful, not doing that which is right, we ought to encourage one another. Talk to that brother. Encourage that sister to get faithful. Something was proposed to me a few weeks ago that has made me think and have been thinking. As it relates to what Jude said, pulling individuals out of the fire. In order to pull people out of the fire, you yourself are probably going to get burned a little bit. Now that's interesting. Hating even the garments that they're wearing. Talking about the spiritual garments of sin. We ought to be exhorting one another and continue to exhort one another to be faithful to God. Why? Because we want to hear well done. I believe that we will hear that. God is faithful. And God will save us and has saved us. And the only thing we have to do is remain faithful. We trust him. And we know that he will come through with his promise. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the same idea, same concept, same word. Therefore exhort, first of all, that therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I exhort, I encourage you, pray for all people. Remember a few weeks ago I told you, I said, I failed in that area. Sometimes we fail to pray for all men. Doesn't God want all men to be saved? And when those who are outside are able to come inside and see our respectful worship to God, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they're able to say amen to the word of God because it's being preached in clarity and with power. But then they see how we interact with one another and how we bless one another with the word and with encouraging words. Shouldn't we be telling people, man, I'm praying for you? We ought to be telling our friends who are not members of the Lord's church, man, I'm praying for you. Why? Because I want you to come to the Lord. I want you to be saved. Look at chapter 6 and verse 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let as many bondservants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather let them serve them because of those who are benefited, are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Encourage these things. And that's what we want to do. We want to continue to encourage one another to be good servants, striving to do that which is right. And so when that young lady said, this little congregation is so warm and welcoming, it made me think about the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16? He said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're a city that's set upon a hill. Men shall see your good works and glorify who? Your Father. I hope, pray, and trust that as they were going home, that something will be said to one another. We ought to give them another try. One thing that encouraged me was, he said to me, he's like, I grew up in the church. She didn't. I said, well, you ought to be thinking about leading her back this way. Leading her this way. Need to. Friends, it's amazing. Just doing what God says. And something as small as having a meal together and encouraging one another possibly could change the life of two individuals and their beautiful baby girl. It is all right to do right. It is all right to spend time with one another. It is all right to eat with one another. It is all right to invite those who may not know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sins, that we may spend time with one another. I wanted to give you some words of encouragement to exhort you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing and encourage others to keep doing what they're doing or to get on track and do what they need to do. Because friends, we want to hear well done. We want to live with God. And we need to live with Him right now. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Our God and our Father, we're so thankful for you and thankful for the blessings of this life and you allowing us to just come together and to exhort one another, to encourage one another, to build up one another. Pray to Father that these short, timely words will encourage our brethren that they're doing that which is right. They're here tonight to be encouraged. And in a world of darkness, sin, and shame, we need all of the encouragement that we can get. So we're thankful for the church. We're thankful for the wisdom that you have given us through your word, that we may be able to be faithful to you and strive to do thy will in everything that we do. Help us to stay busy and be busy. Help us to realize that you're our leader. You're our moral leader. And we're going to follow you to the death. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to be leaders in the Lord's church that are guiding the people of God as close to heaven as humanly possible. Help us as we follow to be humble, to be servants, to love one another, and to love our fellow man. Father, we love you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We would love to sit down and study with you, have a series of studies with you. God has blessed us here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ with individuals who have put off sin and clothed themselves with Christ. You can do that too. The way that you do that is obedience to the gospel. That good news, and it was good news 2,000 years ago, Brother Royce, is still good news today. It's amazing how long this good news has been going on. You can obey that good news. And that good news is that one day, God sent forth his son, and he put on flesh, and he lived this life flawlessly. And the reason why he did that was to demonstrate that one could be faithful to God, to sacrifice himself for sin. That's exactly what he did. But he was killed because of that. He was murdered because of that. But because of God's magnificent plan, Jesus Christ died on the cross. And as he was dying on that cross, he was taking man's sin away. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, he was taking on our sin and putting us in a position that we could be pleasing to God. And then when he died, or before he died, he said, "It is finished." That old law was nailed to the cross. 50 days later, we was going to have a new law ushered in. Those on the day of Pentecost took advantage of that new law. They took advantage of that blood. They took advantage of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And those words, that prayer was answered in Acts chapter 2 and has been being answered every day. Every day someone's answering that prayer. Maybe you're not a child of God. You can answer that. You can fulfill that prayer by believing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repenting of sin. Confessing Christ to be Lord. Being buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll say, "Don't worry about everything that you have done in your past. I forget about it. And he did that through the blood of Christ. Because he loves us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to justify us, sanctify us. Live faithful even to the point of death, and God will give you the crown of life. But maybe a child of God, you need special prayer. Let us pray for you. Let's keep encouraging one another and building up one another in the most holy faith. As we stand and as we sing our blessed Savior's invitation.